Hi, Marian. Welcome back to View from the Owner Room.
Hey, Karen.
Today we have a topic that might be a bit tricky to talk about, but we've talked about lots of good ways to help people enter your family and become part of your family when you're part of a family business. But what about the sticky topic of how do you help someone or help make sure that when someone leaves your family, it doesn't take the family apart in the process? How can you have someone leave your family, presumably through divorce, and not have there be a lasting toll on the family that's left behind?
Well, it is a tricky question. And I think that there are two dimensions to this that we probably ought to talk about. One is someone leaving the family. And the other is whether that person works in the family business or not. And so whether they're continuing or leaving the family business. So that adds an extra dimension when there's divorce in a business owning family. You know, divorce is tricky and difficult, and people manage it in a variety of different ways. But I think when a family member or former family member or spouse exits through divorce, there are some basic rules about trying to keep communication channels open and for other family members not to take sides. And for there to be a kind of rallying around the children if there are children involved. So basically, everyone should do as much as they possibly can to make it, quote unquote, a good divorce. Of course, there's really no good divorce, but there are better and worse divorces.
So I guess you mentioned some rules of thumb in passing. It sounds like neutrality, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, neutrality for the other family members, focusing on the goal being to have some kind of cordial relationship with the ex-husband or wife, spouse, and rallying around the children. So what does that mean? Like, how do you do that? What does it mean to do all those things that we just listed there?
Well, one of the really unfortunate things that happens in a quote unquote bad divorce is that the children are kind of forced to pick sides or caught in the middle. And so it's really important for family members, as well as the divorcing spouses, to make sure their children feel that they have a family, a large family that's rallying around them, that's supporting them, that understands them, and that doesn't expect them to take sides with either parent. And I think that one of the things that I've heard about is, this is in a France case, a divorcing couple basically instructed their best friends who had children the same age as the divorcing couple's children to not take sides. They said, we need you to be friends with all of us and to be a support for our daughter at the same time. So absolutely do not take sides here. We want the friendships to continue. So that can happen. And of course, sometimes the grounds for divorce and the contentiousness, it just makes that really difficult to happen. But even when there are difficult divorces, I think that there are ways to be civil and constructive and to keep communication open instead of feeling like you have to take sides.
Well, what's at stake here? Because I mean, I guess, as you say, divorce is difficult for everybody, always, never not difficult. Why is it more difficult, or is it, for someone who's part of a family business or leaving a family business through a divorce?
Yeah, it's particularly difficult because the level of engagement that the family has together, typically as owners or working in the business, is greater than in an average family where there isn't a family business. And so that engagement that people have with each other means that there's more emotional repercussions through the family, but also through the business when there's divorce. And when someone is working, or one or the other family member is working in the family business, then essentially the employees wind up knowing that there's a divorce and they have a lot of questions, and they maybe have misplaced or loyalties, or you know, they feel pulled in to take sides. So the familyness of it pulls the employees in the same way that family members can get pulled into the taking sides dimension of divorce. And so when there is a divorce where one or another spouse works in the family business, the most important thing is that there be really clear communication about, is the spouse, you know, okay, so there's a divorce, is the spouse leaving the family business? And if they are, why and how, and kind of a message that makes that feel like it's, it's not a secret, and B, there's a good path for that person, and C, that there's not going to be this underlying contentiousness that means that that person can't be spoken about, or, you know, you don't have to erase that person when they leave the family business. And those are really important aspects when a spouse is the one who leaves the family business.
Who should be doing this communication? Whose role is it? So in the instance where a spouse is leaving, has worked in the business and is leaving, whose job is it to have the communication with employees so that people understand the state of play for things?
Yeah, so in a recent case, and this was not a divorce, this was just an exit from the family business, the CEO and the board chair wrote a note, a letter to basically to the employees saying, so-and-so has decided to leave. We valued his contributions to the company. This was his decision because he wants to go and do X, Y, and Z. And so there's an explanation for why the in-law is leaving. And in the same way, if there's a divorce involved, it's not impossible for the CEO or board chair to write the same letter, which is to say, for trust reasons, the person has moved on because the owner family needs to keep, you know, the lines clear between employees and owners and family members. And so it's better for there to be a severance of this person's employment. And we really appreciate what the spouse has done for us in the time that they've worked there. In other words, there's a constructive, positive message, even in the divorce, if the divorcing spouse is leaving, there's a way to make a positive and constructive message that puts some of those fears to rest.
So you've talked about cases where there can be a positive message constructed because there's some good intention there. What if everybody in the family and in the company is aware that it's so ugly that whatever that message would not be authentic? You know, it would be covering up something. Have you ever seen families navigate a really nasty divorce in a way that pulls them out of such a bad place to be able to make that a more authentic message? Is it possible to course correct if it's spiraling pretty badly on a personal level before it damages the business or the extended family?
I think the most important way, I'm trying to think about if I've seen this in real life, but I think the most important, there are a couple of important principles, which is that A, the negative talk about either spouse has to stop. So even if it's very contentious, the best way to handle it is to not talk negatively about either spouse, actually. So it's to try to, I know this may sound like the opposite of what I was saying about messaging, but it's to try not to feed a gossip mill and get stories going. And the best thing to do is to, you know, when someone has asked family members to say, yeah, it's really tough, you know, and they're working through it. And we have confidence that they're going to get through it. And we're supporting their children as they do that. That's the message. That's the message. And it's the message internally too. So what you don't want is to get the gossip mill cranked up so that people are on either side of the, you know, they're on the one spouse or the other's side.
Is how much of this can be, should be anticipated in a prenup? Is it common that in some way you can avoid the nastiness through a prenup, or is that a whole different kettle of fish?
No, I think it's a different kettle of fish. What you can avoid most of the time, or should be able to avoid, is the lawsuits over assets. And the whole reason that you have a prenup is so that it's clear at the beginning who owns what. And if a spouse comes into marriage with certain kind of assets, including shares in the business, that they're going to take those assets away. And it's not going to be community property, or it's not going to be split in the divorce. The prenup takes one issue, which could be contentious, should take it off the table. But the prenup can't dictate how people are actually going to behave when they're hurt, when they're shocked, you know, when they're angry. But that's up to the people themselves, with support from their family members and friends. They're the ones who have to decide what their behaviors are going to be.
What role does the patriarch or matriarch play in helping the family through a situation like this? Is there a sort of senior leadership role to getting the tone right, getting the family to be on the same page, to be able to say that we will say nothing negative about either side? Or does it have to come from a sort of authentic relationship level, whoever's closest to those people?
Well, I think the patriarch or matriarch can set an example, but also would be careful about a senior family member's desire to not have scandal or gossip or anything bad said about the family. So what you don't want is somebody saying, oh no, it's all okay, you know. But you do want people to acknowledge the difficulty and voice support for the people going through it. And so it's a question of whether a patriarch or a matriarch could really do that, or whether their tendency would be to defend their child, or to, you know, kind of brush things under the rug in a way that feels disingenuous.
I'm thinking of what it must feel like to be a non-family member, the person who's divorcing out of the family that you weren't part of the family originally, losing the sense of loss of not being part of something that you were part of, however contentious it might have been, how difficult that must be. And I'm just curious, do you have any observations or advice for people who are having to walk away from a role that's played a big part of their life or defined them for a certain amount of time, what that feels like and how you can feel whole eventually, even though you're not part of this thing that you really felt part of for a long time?
Well, when a spouse that's divorcing, a non kind of owner spouse, leaves the company, it doesn't mean that they're jumping off a cliff, or it shouldn't mean that they're jumping off a cliff into the great unknown. I mean, if in the best world, that person gets support, that person gets, you know, some severance, that person gets help finding another job, that person gets the grace of not having their name, you know, dragged through the mud. And so if there is a way to support that person in finding another role, then I think that sense of loss can be mitigated somehow. Yes, it's hard. It's really hard for people who've worked in the company for X number of years to let go. But again, you don't have to be in cases where there's no misconduct. You don't throw them to the curb. You really try to find, there should be HR and others who are trying to find a really good place for that person where they land gently.
What's at stake if it does not go well and the exiting spouse is not treated well for whatever reason, just coldness or in, you know, the harsh terms of leaving the company? What's at stake for the company or for the family if things don't go well? Why would this be so important to do well?
Well, I think there are at least two answers for that. One is that if that person lives in a small community, or even the small community that's created by social media, their reaction and their reaction to things that the family or the business decide to do can be quite negative on social media. There can be ongoing difficulties, and we've seen that happen. So a person can kind of take their revenge out really on social media, which is not great. And the other thing is that it can really, it can split the kids, which is exactly what you're not trying to do, right? You're trying to help the next generation. And if you're a family business, you want them to feel like the business is good. It's a good place to be. So helping the spouse who's leaving get situated well is also done because you don't want to have the children feel, oh, this business threw my mother threw my father out and he never landed well and everything's been bad ever since. That's not what the message that you want to send to the next generation. You know, like it or not, business families are connected, and they're connected forever, just like divorced people discover that they're actually still connected if they have children, or they should be. So there's no real severing of relationships, which means that the typical discipline about trying to be constructive, trying to be, you know, tell the truth about what's going on without oversharing, all of those great rules of communication, you know, still apply in a divorce situation or when someone's leaving a family business.
you raised at the beginning of this conversation something I hadn't thought about, but it's a really good topic to talk about. What if we're not talking about a divorce, but just even a family member who's been working in the family business and wants to leave, chooses to leave, or is asked to leave? How can that not wreak havoc on both the individual and the family and the company? How can that be done well when I imagine the emotions are large in those kinds of situations?
They are. And I think that the situation where a family member is asked to leave is extremely difficult. And most of the time, even with good preparation, there can be bad feelings about it. However, there's preparation to do that helps mitigate. And that preparation is when you have a family employment policy, that policy should be known to everyone. And in that policy should be a section that talks about what if someone isn't performing. So there should be precedent for performance is expected, and there will be an invitation to exit or to find another job in the company if performance isn't happening. So A, that's one, the family employment policy. The second thing is that someone, an HR director or a mentor, should be on top of family members' performance throughout and giving them feedback, direct feedback. So if someone isn't performing, you don't want to tell them after they've been working 10 years that they're not performing, right? They're leaving at noon on Fridays to play golf and they're not coming in at 10 o'clock in the morning. That's something that basically shouldn't be tolerated. And so there's also kind of an accountability early on to give feedback to people so that their performance isn't viewed as, doesn't come as a surprise, you know, when they're suddenly called on the carpet for not putting in the hours. And then I think there needs to be an honest conversation with folks about, not just about leaving, but about how that message is delivered is really important. It can be delivered as a punishment or it can be delivered in a supportive way. So this isn't a good fit. You know, we've tried, you've seen your performance reviews over the last couple of years. It's really clear that you are not really emotionally invested in the job because you're not putting in the hours. You know, you're a member of our owner family. You understand that we have to set an example as the family that's owning this company. And, you know, we want to find some role for you that you are really excited about. And we think that's probably outside the business, but we're going to do everything we can to, you know, find you a good role and support you in that process. So sometimes that's a good message and sometimes it works and the person really realizes that it's not a good fit. And sometimes it's difficult and the person still feels, you know, kind of kicked out. But all of that preparation before there's a performance problem is the most important thing. In a recent case that we're working with, there was not really acknowledgement of a performance problem, and there wasn't really an acknowledgement that the role wasn't a good fit. And so when the family member left the company, it created a huge firestorm within the family who didn't know why so-and-so had left the company and didn't have any background and didn't know anything about his performance or about the work that had been done to try to help him improve. And so that was really challenging.
Is there, in your experience, is there an emotional arc after someone leaves the company for whatever reason that it takes a certain amount of time for them to be able to sit down at the Thanksgiving dinner table with the rest of the family and not feel like they can't look people in the eye or they're angry? Is there kind of a, it's okay to take this amount of time cycle that you expect people to need when that happens to them?
Yes, I think it takes time. I think I'm thinking of an example where a spouse was fired for cause and that process wasn't handled well and it dragged on for a year and a half. And of course, because it was for cause, it was confidential. So nobody really knew why this person was fired. And yet, I think it's 2 years later, this person comes to family meetings and talks and weighs in. So something about the support in the wider family and the kind of holding on to family relationships makes a big difference. Now it's still a sore spot because people don't know why. Some people think he's a victim, and some people think he's, you know, a bad person. But somehow the family has enough support. Probably his spouse is most important in that he still feels like part of the family and comes and speaks up.
So let me summarize it. I think I heard you through both scenarios. So somebody leaving employment and somebody leaving a marriage or a relationship in the family. It sounds like it's really imperative for the broader family, as well as the individuals involved, to really try to take a high road, because the stakes for the family and the company long-term are entwined with whatever that decision is. And as hard as it is, that's essential. Do I get that correctly?
Yeah, that's right.
So if you were giving somebody facing one of these two scenarios your top three, say, tips on things to think about, things to resist, things to make sure you do, just curious if you have a couple of words of advice for keeping in mind when you're in the middle of or about to go through a scenario like one of those two.
Well, even before the scenario arises, I think one of the rules is plan ahead for the scenario in which employment doesn't work out. And that's might be for a family member or for a non-family member. Plan ahead so people know what's going to happen if the person can't perform in the role or doesn't like the role, there isn't a good fit. So that's one thing. The second thing is, you know, provide support around the exit. And that's if some employee is leaving and there might be a performance problem, but there's not a, you know, some kind of a case to be made, they're not being fired, you know, then support is really important, and a certain measure of transparency, a positive message that goes with that person is really important, support in finding another role, et cetera. You know, and then I think in the most contentious cases, what you want to make sure is that the family surrounding the couple or the couple themselves do not feed a gossip mill, which becomes destructive, can divide the company, and certainly is completely unfair to the children. So it's really being disciplined in how one speaks about the divorce that's going on, leaving it in the hands of the people who are going through a very difficult process and not trying very hard not to take sides.
I imagine that's challenging, but it definitely sounds like it's worth trying to do that. Marian, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate your thoughts on how to help a family member exit the family business or the family gracefully. Really appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Karen. I enjoyed it.